It has a believable message, it's based on proof and evidence. What overtook you about Islam that had you accept it?
Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How you guys doing? Another week, another exciting episode. Alexander, how you doing, my brother? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Peace be with you.
Likewise, my brother. How's everything?
Good, good. Alhamdulillah. So it's the billion-dollar question. I don't call it the million-dollar question. I call it the billion-dollar question. And that's why you're here, to share your story. Tell us. People usually nowadays, like, people are thinking that, hey, if I'm going to become a Muslim, you know, that's probably, like, the last thing that people are gonna have on their list. They'll join every other religion, you follow me, because it's kind of cool. But nowadays there's so much heat on Islam. But you became a Muslim. How long ago was that?
That was 14 years ago.
14 years ago.
Yes.
I don't know which guest I asked. Was it at that time, was there as much, when I say heat, I mean it's like all over the news. As soon as you say Muslim, people start thinking some ludicrous things, you know, attributing to it, terrorism and all sorts of nonsense. But what was it about Islam? But we still see Islam as being the fastest growing way of life in the world because it has a believable message, it's based on proof and evidence. What overtook you about Islam that had you accept it?
What overtook me? Well, during that time, I know there was like the war in Iraq. And it was shortly after, like, the World Trade Center incident. But me accepting Islam had, like, I had no idea who it was that did that, or that had no impact on my, you know, finding Islam. I'd say primarily it was there was a friend of mine who told me about Islam, mm-hmm. like, over a course of probably 2 or 3 months, maybe.
Is a Muslim friend of yours?
Yeah, it's a Muslim friend of mine.
And what was it about Islam that had you accept it?
Well, after talking with him for some time, it would be on and off, and we met through non-Muslim friends. We were mutual friends, and from time to time, when he would invite me to his house, he would tell me a little bit about Islam. It wasn't the main focus of our hangout time, but from time to time he'd bring it up, he'd tell me what he thinks, and eventually I picked up my own book on a biography of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and read that, and what really took me were the letters that he sent to the kings and the rulers at that time, inviting them to worship Allah alone, and so it was primarily the letters, that's what actually brought me to be able to go to the mosque and take Shahada there.
Oh, you see, so you're talking about the time in history when Prophet Muhammad, who we believe is the last and final messenger in a line of messengers, and that kind of, when you explain that chronological order to people, it makes sense. Okay, there was the first man, Adam. He was told to submit his will to God. He was a Muslim. That's what a Muslim is. You know, the sun is a Muslim, the trees, everything that submits its will to God is a Muslim. That's simply what it means. So when we start with the first man, Adam, and then you move along to all the other messengers, just to name a few, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad. It's that line, you know, and it's the same. It's one humanity, one way of life. Submit your will to the creator of life, the one who created life, and do good deeds. You're going to be accountable for on the day of judgment. You can't just do whatever you want and live life without a purpose. There is a purpose. So now when you explain these things, it just makes sense. And now when we study the life, and this is what you're referring to, the life of the last and final messenger, documented like no other human being in history. This is amazing. Everything that you need to know about him is documented. So particularly, this is amazing. He sent out letters to the leaders at that time, inviting them to God, inviting them to submission to the creator, not the creation, to Islam. And that had a profound effect on you?
Yeah, that would be it. And
what was it about it? It was like
It was very straight to the point. It was
no beating around the bush.
No beating around the bush. It was still kind. It was firm, but it was it was very. I don't know.
How to I say like what word. You said. To the point. It was like worship God alone, worship Allah, the Creator. I'm the messenger of God, and right. guaranteeing for the one who you know. And then it goes on. Everything is kind of outlined.
Right.
It's not right. you know what's you can't read that letter and not get the message.
Right. Right. And there were multiple letters like that, obviously, and but that was basically, I can't remember exactly what it was about them specifically, but I remember that that's what. Had drawn me in because it's been 14 years since, but mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was shortly thereafter that my friend invited me to come to the mosque, and Islam kind of like grew on me, I would say. Like a lot of times people become Muslim and they think that it's just like a lot of times I think later on in life is when, like 2 or 3 years after I became Muslim, that's when I actually started to feel like I was really being Muslim, because then by then I started reading and going to classes and stuff like that on Islam. So it took a while, and it actually, I feel like a conversion actually kind of like grew on me rather than mm-hmm. just like an immediate like saying the Shahada. And it was, because a lot of people don't really study the deen, they don't study Islam like that. Like they get to a certain place in it, and then they kind of like, they pray and they fast, but they don't really continue to like learn, which is very important, I think, for people to maintain their Islam and then grow also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like anything, if you love it, I mean, you want to really invest the time to get to know it, right? You'll appreciate it more. Have you seen that many people who hadn't gone through the digging process, like you had to like do some work? What I mean, like you dig and then you find that valuable treasure of Islam. You got many Muslims who are just born with the name tag Muslim, sure. right? They didn't have to struggle and strive, and many just, they end up not appreciating it, taking it for granted, not implementing it, being ignorant of it, doing the opposite of it.
Right.
Have you seen that contradiction
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then knowledge being the distinguishing factor, the authentic knowledge. When you have that, it makes a world of a difference.
It does. It does.
How long did it take you to embrace Islam, to know that, okay, so we got one thing, you mentioned the letters, but how much time did it take altogether before you were like, you know what, this is really making sense? You know, Islam has a believable message. Worship one God, only one God. There's no intermediaries between you and God. You're not going to a confession box. You're not praying through a saint, a messenger, anything in creation but the one God, the one who created this whole universe, the ultimate reality, God Almighty, in Arabic, Allah. That mm-hmm. message is believable. We have the Quran. It's a living, testable miracle. And I don't have to sell you on it. I mean, but the people, I mean, obviously you figure that out. That's why you're here. But most mm-hmm. people now, if they tune in for the first time, they see how the Quran, memorized by millions all over the world, like no other book, and et cetera, et cetera. But now, how was it? How long? And it takes time, because we take this, some people who take it for granted, they don't even know these facts. But how long? It's like one fact to the next amazing discovery about it. And you're like, wow. You know, media is telling me one thing. No, it's opposite here. Islam promotes love, compassion, mercy. You know, it's not blind faith. And I can just go on. I get excited. You can see talking about it. I'm really amazed. When we just revisit those basic principles of Islam, it's amazing. How much time did you put in? Month, 2 months? Not too long ago, I had a guest on. He was talking about, he studied it for like, I think it was 2 years. Right. How much time did you spend studying before you're like, you know what? And someone can take 10 years studying it and they still didn't accept, you know, because there's also that courage that you need. It's a sincerity, right?
Right, right.
How long did it take before you were like, okay, this is it, man. This is from the Creator. There's no more, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'd say less than a year for sure.
Okay, so over 6 months, not quite a year, so somewhere around 10-11 months,
yeah,
of investigation.
Yeah, of investigation. I mean, even after I took Shahada, I continued to learn what I needed to know about Islam, because it's not always covered when you take Shahada.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did my own research in it, and that's when I was really firm in it. I mean, initially when I was growing up, I always believed in God.
Yeah.
I always believed in the Creator. But I just didn't have a religion to place that in. Because I guess, you know, from having the Mormon background and just general Christian background, I really wasn't settled with, it didn't feel right to me. It didn't fill all of the questions that I had growing up.
Let's get into that. We're going to hold that thought. I want to get into covering a little bit about the Mormon background. And then from there, the other processes that you went through, your journey here on the Dean Show with Alexander. And we have a lot more to talk about on this exciting episode. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Salam alaikum. Back here on the Dean Show with Alexander. Now, you talked about the letters, those letters that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who we believe is the last and final messenger sent to mankind, in a line of messengers, including Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Noah, and all the other the messengers that the Creator sent out of his love. Out of his love, he sent messengers, and those messengers came with the same message: worship the Creator, not the creation. They came with the purpose of life. They warned people about the accountability on the day of judgment, right? You're not just going to just, you know, turn to dust and that's it, go to sleep, and you're, you know, when life is over. No, people are going to be accountable for what they did in this life. And the message is clear. You also, you spent almost a year studying Islam, finally you accepted it, but the journey continues. It's like always seeking knowledge. And then you appreciate this, Dean. The more it's, for me, it's like the more you study it, the more you're convinced of it. I've had so many different scholars of different religions, and the more they gained a proper understanding and they really went deep into that religion, they figured this is a man-made religion, right? Mm-hmm. And they got more knowledge of it, but more unconvinced that it was divine. But it seems to have the opposite effect with Islam. The more you study Islam, the more it has the effect on you that there's no way that this can come from Muhammad, a group of men, or anybody other than the one who created creation. And before that, let's get into a little bit of the history. You said that you mentioned the Mormon religion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So were your parents Mormon?
Yeah, my mother was Mormon. It was probably around, I was like 8, maybe 9 years old, I started going to the church. And that's a rough estimate. And it was 3 hours long, and
what was 3 hours long?
The whole service, like for on that Sunday.
Every
Sunday. Yeah.
3 hour sermon.
It was a not just a sermon. There were like, it was divided into three classes, but there was like a main thing for everybody.
That's like their Juma.
Yeah. So, and then there were smaller classes that broken up by way of like age groups.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I was a deacon in the church for...
You were a deacon in the church?
Yeah, I was a deacon in the church. Yeah, like when I got older.
Mm-hmm.
And that was short-lived, but...
So wait, is this in the Mormon church?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't know that. So you became a deacon in the Mormon church. Now, what's the main difference between Orthodox Christianity and the Mormon church?
I'd say that
Joseph Smith, something like that.
Joseph Smith, yeah, he's considered a prophet, and they also have modern day prophets that, I mean, they claim to be prophets today, and that they receive like divine inspiration or revelation from God.
Yeah,
that's definitely one of the main aspects of Mormon versus just a general Christian.
Do they still, what about the concept of God, of Jesus being divine, dying for your sins? Is that still there in Mormonism?
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. And they believe, they have a Book of Mormon, which apparently came from, you know, Joseph Smith. He had found them. There apparently it was, during the time of Jesus, there was another book called the Book of Mormon that was lost, that apparently he found.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding.
Yeah.
But
what did that entail, you being a deacon in the Mormon church?
Basically, we'd pass out the bread, like when it was time for sacrament, water, and this where they start you to become like it's like the beginning stages of coming to like becoming a missionary. But I never did complete all of that. I started to get, maybe it was because I was also young, and I was also like getting into high school and all that. Started to not go to church anymore. Didn't want to. It was harder and harder for my mom to get me up to do it, so just stopped going.
What is when you go to the 3-hour session on what is it, Sundays, the Mormon? Yes. What do they call that? Is there a particular name for it?
Not that I remember.
Okay, so now, did they have, what would anyone be allowed to come? Like, anyone can come to the mosque on Friday. That's like every Friday. Anytime you can actually visit the Muslims at the mosque, you know, come in and to learn about Islam. But let's say Fridays, Muslims are called to leave off work and go for half an hour to listen to the talk given, khutbah. And from there, this is supposed to like recharge you for the week, along with the other things that we do. And you'd usually walk away if you came with the clear message that there's only one God and some of the basic principles of Islam, of doing good deeds, you know, developing a relationship with the one who created you, Day of Judgment, and kind of a, you know, recharging your heart on that. You'd walk away with that for sure. Right?
Right, right,
that's always reiterated. Worship God alone, no one else but God. Right, and Muhammad is the last final messenger, etc., amongst other things. But now, what do you walk away with from these 3-hour sermons? What do you remember walking away with? If someone, and was someone from the outside allowed to come in on these?
I didn't normally see that people would come from the outside. I didn't see it for myself. Yeah. I would assume that. You know, I don't know if they'd take an appointment. I'm not sure. But I normally didn't see non-Mormons that I could, you know, tell off top that they were just visitors.
But what would be the message that someone can get away with, leave with coming to one of those Sunday sessions?
I mean, for me, I guess I didn't get away with much because this really didn't...
Didn't stick. Now you talk about later on, did you end up leaving Mormonism and you came more towards Orthodox Christianity?
No, I just left religion altogether.
Okay, right. That's what usually happens. People just totally leave religion.
Right.
So that's what happened.
I mean, I didn't leave God necessarily. I always believed in the Creator, like I said, but religion, as far as in general, I just left it alone because now I was doing the typical high school thing. Music and intoxicants, and that's how I grew up in high school, you know, like just not so much the chasing women or anything like that, but you know, just my friends, my small group of friends, intoxicants, and
that's you know, a sad reality. That's kind of like, you know, what you go through if you don't have the proper direction, right? You end up falling into those pitfalls, drugs, alcohol, partying, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so what happens from there? Somewhere in your story, you get to a point, so you didn't disconnect from God, right? You still believed in a creator. Right. So what happens from there?
Basically, I get out of high school. I have a lot of issues with being a headache to my parents. So I definitely spent some time staying at friends' houses, staying on the streets even sometimes. And no direction. Still believed in God this whole time. Didn't necessarily pray. So when I started to meet my friend later on through these non-Muslim friends, he just revived that, you know, what was already in me with as far as believing in God, and started to question it, and you know, just basically rediscover that, you know, that part of me.
Is this a Muslim that you're talking about?
Yeah.
What was his name? Who was this person?
His name was Adam.
Adam?
Yeah.
How did you hook up with him?
I hooked up with him. I forgot exactly which non-Muslim friends we hooked up with, but...
So he was giving you dawah now?
Yeah, he was giving me dawah, not like full-time, but like it would come up in conversation from time to time. He he generally made sure that every time he met somebody, he would tell them about Islam.
Yeah.
Maybe not so straightforward, but it would, you know, depending.
Be kind of subtle, and he just, yeah. Yeah.
It'd be subtle, and depending on how you, you know, react or how you respond, he would
yeah.
give you more or ask you also, you know, what you think, so.
Yeah. And obviously, the things that he was sharing with you were they things that sometimes you'll hear these weird things that just don't make sense. You don't want to hear more of it, but I mean, with my experience, the message of Islam is so powerful, right? And you can't appreciate if your ears are closed, eyes are closed, and you're just like, you know, brainwashed by the media. But if you're open, you're receptive, and you're like, hold on, I want to hear it for myself. And the little bit that you do hear, it's like, I want to hear some more, right? Right. If you're sincere.
Absolutely.
Is that what was going on with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, I definitely wanted to hear more. I thought, because I remember one day that after talking with him for some time, I decided to go out for a walk. But before I did that, I was at home and I prayed to God alone that I was praying to. And I would like to say that I was sincere about really trying to find what's true, because Adam was telling me something, other people were telling me other things that I was reading were telling me different things, you know. So basically what I thought to myself was like, either all the religions are wrong or there is one that is correct, you mm-hmm. know. And I was just, I believe I was sincere when I asked God to show me what the right path was. So then I left my house, took a short walk, ran into some Jews for Jesus who were downtown where I was living. And that's what I thought that was the sign.
Yeah. Hold on. So, let's we're going to take a break. That's interesting. Jews for Jesus. Let's leave off right there and come back to the rest of his amazing story. Don't go anywhere. Back here on the Dean Show, we left off where you ran, you made, okay, this is very important. So we're dissecting kind of your story and seeing where we can derive some benefits. And I think this is really profound. It's something simple, and some of just the most simple and basic things are overlooked by people. But that's right there. That's where your remedy is. That's where the solution is. That's where the power is in some of these simple, basic things that you just did and many people are not doing. You prayed to God alone. Right, not to the creation, nothing, not to a Jesus, Muhammad, nobody, just to the Creator. You prayed, right?
Right.
And you asked for some direction, guidance, right? And we believe firmly, if you're sincere with yourself, with God, with the Creator, right? You don't have an image of God, not a painting, not a statue, nothing. It's just the one who is above, who created creation, above creation. He's running creation, the one who created Jesus and this whole universe and everything in it. You prayed to him, and now you bump into Jews for Jesus.
Jews for Jesus.
How does that work?
So, I mean, basically they were outside giving their dawah.
Yeah.
And calling people to their way. But I didn't really know what was going on with them. But for some reason, after I had prayed and left, and I thought that was, you know, naturally, I thought that was like, okay, this is it right here.
Yeah.
So I, you know, they gave me a Bible and they gave me like a little cross to wear or something, like a little cheap cross to wear.
Yeah.
And I came home with that stuff and started to read the Bible. And my brother said something basically disapproving of it, or he was just like, thought it was silly that I was like engaging myself in
older
that.
Older brother, younger brother?
Younger brother.
Younger brother. Was he into any religion at all? Was he?
I think at the time he was like into Buddhism or something like that. Okay. But he wasn't telling me to follow that. But he was just like, "Nah, man." Like, I forgot exactly what he had said. But then I kind of agreed with him. Mm-hmm. I guess I kind of like, you know, followed suit with what he was saying.
Yeah.
But I ended up coming back to Adam and talking with him until, you know, like he invited me to the mosque. So he kind of took me by the hand. Mm-hmm. To come to the mosque. I didn't say like, yes, I want to go right now or anything. He's like, so would you want to come to the mosque? I said, sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, he kind of led me there and took Shahada with some witnesses.
Yeah.
And then he asked me if I felt any different. And I said, I mean, not really, but a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, it wasn't until much later that I started to read and all that. I wouldn't say much later, but sometime later I started to read and all that, and it felt like veils kept being lifted from my eyes as I started to know more and more about Islam, started to see the world differently. It felt like I started to see a different, you know, I started to see like, wow, there's a lot of people who don't know this. There's,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's real. It sets a lot of peace in my heart to be able to know that, you know, what's gonna eventually happen after, you know, everything is said and done and we're in the graves.
Yeah.
So
that's important that you mentioned that he asked you, do you feel any different? Many people, after they take Shahada is simply that declaration of faith, obviously, for the people who don't know, is testifying, declaring what's in your heart. Let it come out with your lips. If you love your wife, you love your mother, you tell them, I love you, right?
Right.
You testified to it. You'd have no problem testifying if someone stole your wallet and the police needed a description, said, who's the person who took it? I'll testify right in court, right?
Right.
You testify. So now you know that. Who's your creator? Allah, the one who created creation. Allah, that's my creator. Muhammad is a messenger. Testify to it. What was the problem? So you testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah and Muhammad is his last and final messenger. And the amazing thing is, this wouldn't exclude, but it would include all the preceding messengers, obviously. Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the other messengers. And from there, many people, they feel like a weight has been lifted off them. But not necessarily that you're like, you know, something mystical and you're people right, waiting right. for this experience. No. Yeah. But now you know your purpose. And that, that it's like a riddle's been solved, right? You have some direction in life, so you're enlightened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the distinguishing factor, because some people, they search for that. Yeah, there's a good feeling. You feel like, you know, a weight has been lifted. You feel like, you know, because when you do accept Islam, all your previous sins are absolved. You're sin-free, right?
Right.
I often say if you owe somebody something, you got to make sure you pay that debt. But from there with God, you're right, right?
Right, right.
But this is important. Now you continued on seeking knowledge and the veils. Now it's like, okay, now I can see. It's like person's in the dark and they just run for this temporary world. But now you can see like how to be a better neighbor, how you can be a better human being all around, right? Better
right.
to your parents, better worshiper with God. And there's hope now for the end. With all trials and calamities, there's a reward. Jannah, paradise, what we're striving for. We don't get attached Absolutely. To this temporary life. So there's direction now. There's purpose. And that just gives, that gives the heart, it strengthens the heart, makes a person stronger, more committed. But that, what you said, it takes more reading, it takes more studying, it takes commitment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I remember when I told him when I took Shahada, he asked me how I felt, and I said I didn't feel much. I believed in the words that I said.
Yeah.
But it's not like you were mentioning some examples earlier, like a white light was coming down or something, or, you know. But, yeah, it took some time, and I think that's what's important for new Muslims especially. They won't always find everybody to take them by the hand to teach them what they need to know. A lot of the time, you got to really... I mean, some people, you might have one or two who might really, like, push you to do it yourself or will take you by the hand and help you. But you really have to, like, you know, do a lot of self-study.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go and seek it, you know. Just like you sought it the first time to become Muslim.
Yeah.
You have to seek how to really be a Muslim afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like anything in life. I mean, when we can make these small comparisons, but if you've decided that this is the best university that you can attend and you're going to benefit from everything it has to offer, it's going to take you, to make the commitment to sign up now. But just because you sign up, you're not going to have all the knowledge that it has to offer or benefit until you start implementing it. That's the same thing with Islam, right? You realize it's the truth. Now you submitted to that truth, but now the faith, the benefits come after you implement the truth. See, people Absolutely. Miss that. See, they try to, you know, get all the benefits first. No, you got to first submit to it, what your creator wants you to do. Start implementing it, and now your faith starts to increase, right? You start to grow. You start to benefit from everything that Allah has told us to do, and you reap the rewards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And being sincere, you know, I think I can't express the sincerity more, because like a lot of people, like they say, some people would say that they would like to know the truth, you know, they would like to, you know, if there was a creator or whatever, that they would like to have knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it depends. Like a lot of people, like if you're just even, I think even if in a lot of cases, I might be wrong, but even if you're just like a little bit insincere,
mm-hmm.
like you really, you kind of don't care. Like a lot of people don't care. There's so many distractions, music, TV, you know, work, school, families, what you do on your off time, that can just keep you distracted. You can just keep one thing after another. And so you're not really thinking about it. And I think if you're 100% sincere about really trying to find the truth, God will definitely, you know, make it available to you. Pardon me.
That's right. Sincerity. You got to be sincere. You got to want it. Just like you wanted that man or woman, right? You chased that person.
Right.
Just like you wanted that job, you chased it. You wanted that car. Whatever you wanted are material things. These are all material things, right? You chased it. You fought for it. You sought for it, and you got it. This is the test now. Are you willing to do the same, even half that much, to acquire the truth, to right. connect with your creator? But like you said, people are distracted. Entertainment, all these other things are more important. And that's what's going to show and testify at the end. When you die and the reward of paradise there and the hellfire is there, day of judgment, and the test now. It's like, hold on. The people who studied, the people who put in the time, they passed. The people who didn't. And God is all just. He sends messenger. He sends the warning. But people turn away, a blind eye. So who can you blame but yourself?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're almost, time just flies by. So what piece of advice would you say from your long journey now? Obviously, another thing, it's a whole different topic, but the struggle continues, right? So what advice do you give for people who are kind of, and these stories are meant to enlighten people who are kind of struggling. They realize by listening to your story that you're not, are you an Arab?
No.
No, okay. You were born where? You're American, Brazilian, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, my parents are Brazilian. I was born and raised in Chicago.
Oh, Chicagoan, yeah. So Islam is a universal way of life. It's not, because many people think, oh, if you're Muslim, you're an Arab. So we dispel that myth. You're an American. Many people, like, they'll pick a foreign car over an American one because the quality, let's say if Honda's better, Toyota, for example, or Mercedes, but that doesn't mean they're a traitor to their country, does it?
No.
So just because you want to worship the creator, not the creation, right? You want to submit your will to God, doesn't mean you're a traitor, right? You still love your country, I'm sure. I love mine, and we want the best for humanity. So people see these things, right? But some people are struggling. They think, okay, man, I'm going to be outcast, outsider. What advice do you, from someone who was investigating Islam, now you're living it, what advice, simple advice do you give for people who are kind of in that dilemma? Like, you know, they're nervous what society's going to say, what my parents are going to say, you know. And some people accepted Islam, now they're struggling with it. There's a lot there to cover. Just some basic stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, no. I would say I can't put sincerity, or you can't make somebody sincere. So try to find the sincerity within yourself to look for the truth. If it is important to you, it's there. It's not like, it's not hidden either.
Yeah.
You just got to be sincere about finding it and continue to research, because Islam always, you know, in the Quran, Allah asks you to question and ask and to do research and reflect. So to continue to do that and be sincere, and inshallah you'll.
Let's end with that. Be sincere. I like that. That's the key right there. You gotta be sincere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. May God Almighty bless you. And amen. Thank you guys for tuning in here to the Dean Show. Sincerity is key. You got to sincerely want to know the truth. You got to search for it and ask. Ask and you shall receive. So ask the one who created you. Say, the one who created me. Why am I here? What do you want from me? Guide me. It's that simple. But often it's overlooked. So start earnestly asking the one who created you. Don't put a middle man in between you and your creator. Beseech him alone. And then from there, start investigating. Start researching. Remember death. It's going to come at any time. You have all these aspirations and goals. Okay, shoot for them. But remember, prepare for what's going to come possibly before you even achieve most of those goals. Death. And what, when it comes, what excuse are you going to have? That you chased everything under the sun. You accomplished every goal except the ultimate goal, figuring out what the purpose of life is. Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? And how you can you expect to get paradise, the ultimate reward promised to those who believe in the one God and do what he told them to do of good deeds? You can't get anything. You can't expect to get that reward if you didn't chase it. So tune in every week to The Dean Show. Start with these simple steps. Call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM, if you have any questions. There's a lot of false propaganda, hype out there, lies, misinformation about Islam. Don't get bewitched by it. It behooves you to look into it for yourself. Make the human connection with a Muslim. Visit a mosque. Call us and subscribe here to The Dean Show. Every week we got a new exciting episode with a new and exciting guest. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.